This is Free Thought Radio with your hosts, Dan Barker and Annie Laurie Gaylor.
Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try.
Happy heathens, I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor, wishing you a bright and secular new year.
Happy 2009. I'm Dan Barker, your friendly neighborhood atheist of the airwaves.
Free Thought Radio is broadcasting and streaming live. This radio show is devoted to the views of the undevoted, the 16% of Americans who are not religious, and the even larger segment which supports the constitutional separation between state and church.
And this show is brought to you by the National Freedom From Religion Foundation, an organization of atheists and agnostics working to keep state and church separate. And we hope someday you will join us.
Today you'll join us, and we'll be speaking with the indomitable Mike Newdow during the second half of Free Thought Radio. You know how Mark Twain quipped, "Everybody complains about the weather, but nobody ever does anything about it." Well, in the free thought community, we all complain about religion creeping into the presidential inauguration, but it takes Mike Newdow to do something about it. He has lodged a new lawsuit last week with the Freedom From Religion Foundation and others, and we'll be talking with him about the new federal lawsuit.
And Annie Laurie and I and the Freedom From Religion Foundation and some of our members around the country are among the many co-plaintiffs in that lawsuit.
And Mike has really done his research. He shows how the inclusion of chaplains or ministers during the inauguration is a very recent violation, and even how relatively recent the insertion of the words "In God We Trust" into the presidential oath were.
Joining with Michael Newdow to file this educational challenge, naming Chief Justice Roberts, seeking to enjoin him from tampering with the wording prescribed in the Constitution, suing the Inauguration Committee and Reverend Rick Warren himself, as one of the ministers who's turned into an agent of the government by being invited to pray at the inauguration. What a great way to end the year.
Yeah, and now let's look at that year in review. We have some clips of some of the more bizarre pronouncements by public officials on separation of church and state or affecting separation of church and state, and there's a few good ones too. So where to begin?
Let's take a look back on how crazy the campaign got last year, religion crazy. Here's a clip of Reverend Rod Parsley, you remember, who endorsed GOP candidate John McCain.
Islam is an anti-Christ religion that intends through violence to conquer the world.
And I'm very honored today to have one of the truly great leaders in America, a moral compass, a spiritual guide, Pastor Rob Parsley, who is here.
The fact is that America was founded, I'm going to stagger you right now, America was founded in part with the intention of seeing this false religion destroyed. Muhammad received revelations from demon spirits, not from the living God.
I want to say thank you for being here. I want to thank you for, Rob, for your kind introduction.
America has historically understood herself to be a bastion against Islam in the world.
For your leadership and your guidance, I'm very grateful you're here, sir.
And then, of course, Reverend Wright, in turn, caused Barack Obama a lot of grief. When will he and other politicians realize they should stay away from ministers?
God bless America. No, no, no. Not God bless America. God damn America.
Now, in the spring, there was a very thoughtful remark by Barack Obama that caused him a lot of trouble, but it did hearten many a freethinker, in which Barack Obama said people have been beaten down so long, they feel so betrayed by government, that it's not surprising that they get bitter, that they cling to guns or religion or antipathy toward people who aren't like them. And the backlash that this comment stirred up may be why we didn't see this kind of remark for the rest of the campaign, and in fact, why in July Barack Obama made us First Amendment fundamentalists pretty distressed, those of us who had been sincerely hoping a new administration would jettison the disastrous faith-based initiative. Well, here's Barack Obama's announcement that he would rename but not get rid of the faith-based initiative.
I know there are some who bristle at the notion that faith has a place in the public square. But the fact is, leaders in both parties have recognized the value of a partnership between the White House and faith-based groups.
Closer to home for the Freedom From Religion Foundation, here in Wisconsin last summer, the foundation made quite a splash thanks to our legal intern, Sarah Barash, who exposed the type of prayer that's going on to this day in the Wisconsin Assembly. Listen to Assemblyman Moulton exorcising the Wisconsin State Capitol. Yes, this is the 21st century.
Come, Holy Spirit of God, and fill this place today. Jesus, in your name and by the power of your spirit, I come against the evil one, and I ask that he be cast from this place this day. Lord God, I ask all these things in my Lord and Savior's name, Jesus Christ. Amen.
And it's my New Year's resolution, hey, to stop this. So we'll see how I do. In China for the Olympics, we heard these rather chilling words from our current occupant.
Well, first of all, if you're a religious person, you understand that once religion takes hold in the society, it can't be stopped.
Can't be stopped. Religion took hold in the Native American society, and the Europeans with Bibles and guns actually did stop it. Whose religion is stronger? Now, here's a fun change of pace. The long-awaited film Religious by Bill Maher came out before the election in October. Listen to Bill Maher interviewing Senator Mark Pryor in a very revealing segment.
I don't know how it all happened. I mean, I'm certainly willing to
accept it couldn't possibly have been Adam and Eve 5,000 years ago with a talking snake in a garden, could it?
Well, it could have possibly been that.
Come on.
This is
my problem. Yeah. You're a senator. You are one of the very few people who are really running this country. It worries me that people are running my country who believe in a talking snake.
You don't have to pass an IQ test to be in the Senate, though.
That has to be the remark of the year. And, of course, we can't forget Reverend Rick Warren, chosen to lead the invocation at the inauguration, and how he held a presidential forum and made McCain and Obama trot out their Christian credentials, and it was widely televised. After that presidential forum, Warren was interviewed by Larry King and revealed his thoughts on atheists.
Does a person have to believe in God to be president?
I would say so. I couldn't vote for a person who was an atheist.
He couldn't vote for a person who was an atheist, defying the Constitution. And none of us can forget the vice presidential candidate, Sarah Palin. Here's a conversation that she had with Focus on the Family founder, James Dobson.
I just want you to know that Shirley and I are praying for you. God's perfect will be done on November the 4th.
Well, it is that intercession that is so needed and so greatly appreciated. And I can feel it too, Dr. Dobson. I can feel the power of prayer and that strength that is provided through our prayer warriors across this nation. Because I'm going to know at the end of the day, putting this in God's hands, that the right thing for America will be done at the end of the day on November 4th.
Well, I guess the right thing was done.
God's perfect will, he said.
But unfortunately, a casualty on November 4th was marriage equality in California. And here's a snippet from Prop 8, the musical. This is Jack Black singing.
You can stone your wife or sell your daughter into slavery.
Well, we ignore those verses.
Well, then, friend, it seems to me you pick and choose.
You pick and choose.
Well, please choose love instead of hate. Besides, your nation was built on separation of church and state.
See you later, sinners.
That was Jesus, Jack Black playing Jesus in the musical Prop 8. And then came the annual so-called War on Christmas, which is actually a war on the separation of church and state in December. This is a little bit from the Colbert Christmas show with Toby Keith singing a song he probably believes himself, but clearly is a parody.
Believe what Christmas has come to today. All these atheists and judges trying to take you away. Separate church and state, that's what some lawyer said. I say it's time we separated him from his head.
And who else to stoke that war but Fox blowhard Bill O'Reilly, talking here, in fact, about the Freedom From Religion Foundation's winter solstice display at the Washington State Capitol that we put up on December 1st.
Now, this is political correctness gone mad. There's no reason whatsoever to allow an anti-religious sign to be posted alongside a Christmas display. It is inappropriate and out of context. Christmas is a federal holiday honoring a religious man, Jesus.
I much preferred Stephen Colbert's take on that sign. This segment from the Comedy Central show featured you, Dan, my co-host, reading that winter solstice display.
That's why atheists are so vicious this time of year. For instance, this year, at the Washington State Capitol building, across from a Christmas display, this sign was put up by an atheist group.
There are no gods, no devils, no angels, no heaven or hell. There is only our natural world. Religion is but myth and superstition that hardens hearts and enslaves minds.
Enslaves minds? That's offensive. Our minds are not enslaved, they are indentured servants. You do God's work for years and years, and you are eventually freed by death.
And let's end on a high note. The Freedom From Religion Foundation has been putting up a lot of billboards, and last year a lot of them went up around the country and made a lot of news.
The Freedom From Religion Foundation has set up a billboard in downtown Harrisburg. You might have seen it.
Imagine no religion. Those words will blanket billboards across Central Phoenix this week.
In Rancho Cucamonga, an unusual billboard is causing some controversy.
Controversy over an atheist display comes to a head at our state capitol.
Controversial billboard is up right now in downtown Little Rock.
An atheist sign at the Washington State Capitol drew hundreds of protesters today.
They say imagine no religion. A billboard, the first of its kind in California, causes controversy in the Inland Empire.
And many more will be going up this year, thanks to the support of many of our members around the country. I'm Dan Barker with Annie Laurie Gaylor for Free Thought Radio. We'll be right back to talk with Michael Newdow about his and our newest lawsuit.
Find out more about Free Thought Radio and the Freedom From Religion Foundation at FFRF.org or phone 1-800-335-4021. As Mark Twain said, faith is believing what you know ain't so.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor with Dan Barker for Free Thought Radio. We'd like to give a nod now to some famous freethinkers who died in 2008. And by the way, atheists and agnostics avoid that euphemism, which is strictly religious, of saying someone has passed.
Or passed away.
Or passed away. It's more of our death-denying culture, although we have a death-worshipping religion. We sure like to deny death.
George Carlin, the comedian and atheist, died in 2008. Harold Pinter, the pithy playwright, eloquent critic of war. Michael Crichton, a physician who educated with his fiction. Paul Newman, a humanitarian, a humanist, and at most a Unitarian.
And Catherine Faringer, who was a Freedom From Religion Foundation officer in Texas, who became an atheist when she was reading Bible stories to her young children and realized she was nicer than God. And because it's been such a hard year, the world economy, loss of jobs, all these disasters, the war going on right now launched by Israel, all these troubles, let's play the free-thinking song, Dear God. And who's that artist, Dan?
It's Andy Partridge, who's with the group XTC. This is from the 1980s.
Dear God, hope you got the letter and I pray you can make it better down here. I don't mean a big reduction in the price of beer, but all the people that you made in your image, see them starving on their feet, cause they don't get enough to eat from God. Can't believe in me.
We all need a big reduction in amount of tears.
don't believe in.
That was Dear God, sung by Andrew Partridge with XTC. I'm Dan Barker with Annie Laurie Gaylor, and you're listening to Free Thought Radio. We'll be right back to talk with Michael Newdow about his new lawsuit challenging prayer at the upcoming inauguration.
This is Richard Dawkins, author of The God Delusion, and you're listening to Free Thought Radio.
Margaret Sanger's motto was, no gods, no masters.
I'm Dan Barker with Annie Laurie Gaylor, and we're back with the second half of Free Thought Radio.
And we have a return guest, Michael Newdow, who's a doctor, lawyer, I always want to add Indian chief, but you're not that yet, who has taken the world by storm with his litigation, in particular suing over the words under God and the Pledge of Allegiance, and now a new lawsuit to challenge prayer at the inauguration. And we welcome you back to the show, Mike.
Thank you very much.
Hi, Mike. Now, this is not the first time you or we have done this, right?
In terms of this lawsuit?
In terms of the inauguration.
Yes, this is my third try.
Wow.
The first time I tried, they said, you can't do this. You don't have standing because you were out in California. You only saw it on TV. So the next time, which was in 2005, I had a ticket, was all prepared to go, and they said, no, you can't do it because we already decided that you didn't have standing. I said, well, wait a second. You told me it was because I was out there. They said, no, it's the same thing, really. So third try.
So, and hopefully the charm. And you have been very generous, and you've allowed, 28 other plaintiffs to join you this time?
Actually, I've been adding. There were a whole bunch that came last night. So
really?
I have no idea what I'm up to. I ran out of time. I just want to apologize if I could to those who didn't get in. It's totally a matter of time. I've been up trying to get this done.
It was very popular litigation.
Yeah, I think if we, if I had, it was my foolishness, if I had thought about this earlier, I probably could have got a ton more groups and individuals. But
it still is a good sampling of free thought groups and free thinkers, unbelievers around the country.
National groups and then local groups, Minnesota and New Orleans and
Seattle. And
some, yeah.
And the most important,
you FFRF.
Yes, and you did squeeze in Dan and me, so that was very nice of you.
True.
Thank you. So it's really fun to be a co-plaintiff in this lawsuit.
And you guys are actually together. You saw that.
Oh.
Yeah, we are together.
We're
as
a unit.
Joint plaintiff, I suppose.
Yes.
I get half a plaintiff vote.
You still get a whole vote, but just, I just wanted to keep you guys together.
So let's tell the world why you're taking this a third time. What's so wrong with these inaugural prayers?
Well, it's the same thing that's so wrong with everything the government does when it endorses a religious view. It turns other people into outsiders. It turns them into second-class citizens. And I make the analogy, which some people don't like, although I still think it's very good, to separate water fountains. What was wrong with that? And in Plessy v. Ferguson, Justice Harlan, who wrote the dissent, said, what's wrong with this? It's because we know what the real meaning is. And there's a quote, which I'll try and get right, something to the effect of, what this really means is that the colored citizens are so inferior and degraded that they can't sit in railroad cars that are also occupied by white people. That's what the real meaning of that was. And I think here, too, I think it's not quite as bad. I think that people really believe that, they're doing good with God. But simultaneous with that, and many people, I think, take it as meaning also, atheists aren't as good. Those people don't believe in God. They're not moral, et cetera. And this is just one more reinforcement of that.
Now, your legal complaint, the last time I saw it was 34 pages. How long is it now?
I think it's still 34.
34.
Yeah.
And everybody should go and read it. It's up at our website. What's your website, Mike?
RestoreThePledge.com, and it's You can look at the other complaints, too, and you can also look at the video. The first video on the left is a thing of videos, and it's the Obama video, Yes We Can, with a few alterations.
And I think the reason that people should all read this complaint in toto is it's very educational. For example, I didn't know until I read it that chaplains or ministers were not part of the inauguration until what year, Mike?
1937, second inauguration of Roosevelt.
So this is another Johnny-come-lately kind of violation, like the Under God and the Pledge of Allegiance and In God We Trust on our coins and as our motto. Maybe this one started a little earlier, but still, the point you're making is that most inaugurations in history in the United States were without clergy.
Yeah, I think it was 30, I don't remember the number, but something like 38 did not have it, and the first 20 didn't have even the So Help Me God stuff.
Did George Washington say, So Help Me God?
He did not.
You say that in the complaint.
Right. It turns out the first time anyone ever made that suggestion was in 1854, and apparently it was on the basis of Washington Irving's claim. And Washington Irving was born in 1783. The inauguration was 1789. Ergo, he was 6 years old at the time. And he tells us where he was standing. And I actually went there myself to New York City and had some friends stand where Washington Irving said he was standing. And I screamed at the top of my lungs in the middle of the night when it was quiet, all right, with the wind behind me, and they could barely hear what I said. And that was screaming. And everybody says that Washington said this very fervidly and very quiet, solemnly, et cetera. So there's no way he was screaming.
Yeah, and there's no way that this wouldn't have been recorded by other historians.
Right. And every single time that you talk about, you know, what they said, they say he took the oath of office as prescribed by the Constitution, which all of us know does not have So Help Me God.
Maybe he said, So Help That Dog or something. And the wind garbled it or something.
Well, and Washington Irving did some other mischief about George Washington, creating a lot of myths, didn't he? So
yeah, there's a whole bunch of myths. Everybody has made those up. But what's extraordinary, and I think, you know, in terms of religion, not that this is part of the lawsuit, but, you know, people, you know, are so convinced about Jesus raising from the dead, et cetera. I mean, look, this is a myth that was, perpetuated by the Library of Congress, by Justice Scalia, by the National Endowment for the Arts. I mean, it's a whole slew of people who repeated the same thing as if it has some value. And if you go back and look at the origin of it, it turns out to be completely
Yeah, it's just so, like George Washington supposedly praying on the Potomac.
Right, exactly.
And there's a picture of him. Everybody thinks it happened.
Right.
But it didn't.
And so if we could come, you know, at times when there's newspapers and reporters and movable type and all this stuff over the course of a couple hundred years, I mean, think how reliable can stuff be from 2,000 years
Now, tell us who we're suing.
We are suing, well, first of all, Chief Justice John Roberts, Jr.
Yay.
Yay that we're suing
him. I mean, yay that we're suing him.
Well, no, I'm sure he's a nice guy. He may not, and that may be a problem in the lawsuit. But every Chief Justice since 1933, apparently, has added the words, So Help Me God, to the oath of office, which is prescribed by the Constitution. There's no So Help Me God there. This is the man who stands for the rule of law, the epitome of it, and he alters the text of the Constitution. Incredible to me.
Do you have that text in front of you? Or
The oath. I actually have that in my memory. I think I can do it.
Okay,
right. I, Michael Newdow, I've been practicing a whole bunch, do solemnly swear that I will faithfully execute the office of President of the United States and will, to the best of my ability, preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States. Period.
Period. So there's no So Help Me God. There's no reference to putting your hand on a holy book of any kind.
Well, Washington did do that. There's no question, I don't think.
Right, but the Constitution doesn't prescribe it.
The Constitution doesn't mandate it, and he certainly did start some precedent. But first of all, that's his choice. It certainly isn't required. And I think that's okay. I make the argument in the complaint that, or I try to, that the president has free exercise rights.
So we're not suing Obama.
That's a very important distinction here, because we're saying if Obama tacks on So Help Me God or puts his hand on a Bible, that's his free speech, his free exercise. But what you're naming Roberts as the Chief Justice because he's tampering with the wording that he's given to say in the Constitution.
Right. He's a purely governmental agent sitting there offering what is sitting in the Constitution to this man, and to add, you know, what can he do, you know, in the name of white people? I mean, can he put in a not? You know, swear to not preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution.
No.
He can't alter this oath. What's he doing? And he's altering it in a way, as we all know, that is completely contrary to the tenor of the Constitution. The only religion clauses are negatives. You can't do this stuff.
Now, we're also suing, and this was my special request, we're also suing Reverend Rick Warren.
Rick, and
we
and
threw
Reverend
in
Lowry,
Reverend Lowry.
Right.
as acting as agents of the state, because without their presence there, we wouldn't be suing over invocations and benedictions. So that'll be kind of fun. Mm-hmm. And who else are we suing?
And we're suing all the committees that put this thing on, the Presidential Inaugural Committee and its chairman, the Joint Congressional Commission of Inaugural Ceremonies, and the Armed Forces Inaugural Committee.
I want to say something. I got an email this week from my brother, Daryl, who's an atheist, forwarded to me an email from my brother, Tom, who's a born-again fundamentalist Christian. And Tom says he's absolutely thrilled that Rick Warren has been chosen to open the inauguration of our new country because of the blessings of God. And on the religious right is really excited about these prayers.
Right. And this is a man who's on the record as saying he could never vote for an atheist. What a horrible thing to say.
Yeah.
I can never vote for a black. I can never vote for a Jew.
We only have about a minute before we go out for the commercial, but you have a very eloquent legal complaint. This is why I think people should read it in its toto. But you are making the argument that, more than just breaking the Constitution, that this is stigmatizing and marginalizing atheists. And why didn't you talk just briefly about what you talk about the Bible and what it says about atheists?
Well, the Bible has its things. And in Psalms 14:1, I think it is, where they say, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There are none that doeth good." This guy is putting his hand on there as he's taking the oath of office as president. Very nice. And then Leviticus 24:16, I believe it is, that whoever shall blaspheme the name of the Lord shall surely be put to death. And denying God's existence.
So, blasphemy. So those of us who are not religious really do have a very good reason to be distressed when we see religion brought into this most secular of all ceremonies, the presidential inauguration.
If this is the word of God and these people believe in it, then they should be killing us.
And you also point out that all of the ministers so far have been Christian when they've been at these ceremonies.
Yes, not only have they been, but they do like Kirby John Caldwell did, in the name that's above all other names, Jesus the Christ.
So it's excluding also non-Christians as well as
Correct.
Non-believers.
Jews and Muslims and Hindus.
Well, there's a lot more to talk about, but we did want to go out with a little bit of one of your songs. Michael Newdow, in addition to being an emergency room doctor and an attorney, is also a musician and songwriter. And this is the Got Those Old Religion Blues?
Okay.
It all began one Sunday in 1954. That old Pledge of Allegiance, it needed something more. Though it seemed to be working for 60-something years, the nation had McCarthy, the nation had great fears. The politicians sensed it. Hey, how could they refuse? They had those Pledge of Allegiance, needs some old religion blues.
That's Michael Newdow. I'm Dan Barker here with Annie Laurie Gaylor, and we'll be right back to finish our conversation with Mike Newdow.
Find out more about Free Thought Radio and the Freedom From Religion Foundation at ffrf.org or phone 1-800-335-4021.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor with Dan Barker for Free Thought Radio, and we're conversing with Michael Newdow about his newest and our newest lawsuit challenging inaugural prayer, official prayer at the inauguration, and the dictation of So Help Me God by the Chief Justice during the presidential oath filed last week in District of Columbia Federal Court. And so, Mike, can you talk a little bit about, you mentioned Scalia, or at least in footnote, in the complaint, and what he has said about atheists.
Right. Justice Scalia, in the second of the two Ten Commandments cases that came out in 2005, McCreary County, he was on the bad side of that one, the losing side, and he wrote a dissent. And in his dissent, he said, incredibly, that the Establishment Clause permits the disregard of devout atheists. And what is really incredible to me is not so much that he said that, I think we can all not find too much surprise, but that none of the mainstream medium, not a single one as far as I can tell, ever picked up on this or ever said anything about it. If that had been any other group, that would have been front page news.
Yeah. And also two justices joined him.
And two justices joined him, right. Justice Kennedy also joined his dissent, but specifically excluded himself from that portion.
And in the complaint, you make the point that you think the reason why he can show that kind of contempt and really disenfranchise atheists and agnostics is because of the kind of religious ceremony that goes on at the inauguration and other religious violations.
Exactly what he did. One of his reasons for coming to this conclusion, according to his opinion, was that George Washington said, "So help me God," and therefore it must be okay. And now they get it worse. I mean, that was okay, George Washington adding it. Here we have the Chief Justice of the United States Supreme Court putting it in, and I've, you know, I'm sure you've seen it too. There are places where the oath of office of the United States President is quoted, and they quote the Constitution, and they add on the "this will help me God" part, which isn't there.
Wow. You also point out in the complaint that Obama, more than anyone else, being a member of a minority group, ought to understand the sensitivities of those of us who are in the minority.
Yeah, I kind of make I'm more blunt in the video on that in that regard. But yeah, it seems to me he should be. And I have no doubt. I mean, this is a really smart guy, and I have no doubt he recognizes this. But I think he's also
it's
a politician.
It's a political population.
He's a constitutional scholar, isn't he?
Yeah, he taught constitutional law at University of Chicago.
And we're told his mother was an atheist, and he has a very multicultural, diverse background. But he's choosing to go with the flow, huh?
Right. And you know, if he wants to, I personally question almost anybody who really, I mean, you know, the whole idea that, you know, so help me go, what are they doing this for? Do they really think God is listening? I mean, we have an 8-year history that shows that this is not a really effective method of getting, of advancing our society here. You know, George Bush was the ultimate, and it doesn't work, guys. You know,
Also, isn't there a lot of hubris and arrogance here? I'm going to bring people in here to pray for me, as if, you know, I'm a king, and this is what we threw out in our Constitution.
Right.
And it just rankles.
It does.
Well, now, what else do you say in the complaint about why this is unconstitutional?
Oh, basically just the idea of bringing in chaplains. You know, there's two cases. There's Marsh v. Chambers in 1983, and then 9 years later in 92, they have Lee versus Weissman. The first one was legislative prayer, and the other one was prayer at high school graduations. And the question is, which is this going to fall under? And the argument for Marsh v. Chambers was that, oh, it's this unbroken history that goes back to the founding of our nation.
It's a tradition.
Right, this tradition. Well, this one doesn't do that. This one only goes to 1937. And then the other argument is that, you know, it's in the legislative chambers where people come and go all the time. It's nothing really that formal here. You know, how much more formal can you be? This is the grandest ceremony of our nation. In Marsh v. Chambers, you know, there was no children. In Lee versus Weissman, they distinguished these are children involved, and I have in the complaint that we have many children attending.
That's right. You put in unnamed children of all the plaintiffs.
Yeah, I don't want them to suffer. I mean, you know, we're all at risk for putting our names in this stuff from some loony. The children, courts generally are willing to protect them.
So if Obama wanted to have a private religious meeting and have prayer and all that, that would be one thing. But the inauguration is not a religious ceremony. It's our, it's all Americans. This is our secular moment to be one people.
I agree. I think, you know, if he chooses, that's how he decides that it's important to take an oath to worship Jesus or God or whatever, I think he has free exercise rights, and that's fine. It's just when the government is participating in that. You know, he's both. He's the government and an individual, and I'm willing to allow his individual side to outweigh his governmental side.
Because we know that's him speaking, not
right.
The government speaking.
Right.
But when he invites the prayers, the clergy,
right.
That's different.
They're just like in Lee versus Weissman, where mm-hmm. the Supreme Court said you can't do that.
And I also wanted to point out that if he adds this, so help me God, as you said, that's one thing. If he has a private invocation, he goes to a church, we would not be suing him.
Right.
This isn't over his religiosity. If he ends his speech, God bless America, we're not going to sue.
Right.
And that came up during the Hine decision in the oral arguments, that kind of, you know, oh, if we allow someone to sue over the faith-based initiative, then they'll sue because a president says, God bless America. We're not doing that. This is about the actual establishment of religion at a ceremony.
This is government on its own, as not as an individual, but as an institution that represents us all, supposedly.
How can people read the brief? It's up at your website, right?
It's at our website at restorethepledge.com.
Restorethepledge.com.
And also FFRF.org has it up. And thank you so much, Mike, for joining us.
I want to push the video, too. One more time.
Okay. Go see the video. And for all your wonderful work, pro bono, it's amazing.
And we'll look for you on TV on the inauguration.
I'm looking for you. Apparently this week we're both on together.
Thank you for joining us, Mike. And we also want to thank our producer and engineer, Brian Tarani. And our announcer is Buzz Kemper. You can listen to all these shows. You can hear this show archived or podcast online at ffrf.org/radio.
And tune in next week for more Rational Radio and Blasphemous Broadcasting and look for news about the inaugural lawsuit.
Free Thought Radio is a production of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, FFRF.org. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews brought to you by Annie Laurie Gaylor and Dan Barker. I hope someday.